Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. While we're standing, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer here tonight. Amen. Father, once again, Lord, it's just a privilege to be able to gather together, Lord. Lord, tonight we're just looking to you once again, Lord, to provide what we have need of, Lord, out of your word. And Lord, we're not bringing anything in our own hands tonight, Lord, but we're looking to you, Lord, to provide every spiritual need that we have, every physical need, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the young people here tonight, Father. Lord, as we just dedicate this time to them, Lord, and they're the next generation, Lord, if you should tarry the future of the church, Father. And so, Lord, we want to see them founded in your word. We want to see their lives, Lord, standing on the solid rock, the foundation of the word of God, their lives solidly anchored in you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, your word would speak to them, Lord. Somehow, down in their soul, Father, that you would move through flesh and move flesh out of the way, Father, that it's you speaking directly to one of your children tonight. Lord, we love you so much, Lord. Lord, you work in simplicity, Lord. You work in ways that don't make sense to us many times, Lord, but yet it's your ordained method, Lord, and we accept it, Lord, and we receive it tonight. We want to do all things according to your ways, Lord. And we know we'll be blessed because of it, Father. We just ask you to bless your word tonight. Bless every hearer tonight, Lord. May they receive the word with gladness. And may your spirit quicken it and make it alive tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. You can say God bless you back. That's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight I'd like to read out of 1 John chapter 2. And we'll also read a verse out of Proverbs tonight. Got quite a few scriptures that I'd like to read tonight. Hope that's okay. Actually, you know, it's always okay.
Amen.
Amen. So we don't make any apology on that one. Amen. Read the word of God. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, just a couple of scriptures here that I'd like to use to kick us off tonight. It says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. So that covers everything, right? Anything to do with this current world and its pleasures, its any desires toward it, anything that is focused on that, anything, any life that is founded on that, passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. And then Proverbs 16:9, and I have this one out of the Amplified. I just like the way it says it here. It says, a man's mind plans his ways as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of not my will. Amen. Not my will. Hallelujah. And I pray that if you aren't able to pray that right now in every part of your life by the end of tonight, you'll be crying out, Lord, not my will. Amen. Amen. Because we have a will for sure. Amen. And understanding that will must be brought into subjection to the will of God. And knowing that God has a will for us is a powerful thought. Amen. That he has a desire, he has a plan, and he has an eternal will. Amen. Our will is so short-sighted, but his is eternal in nature and eternal in thinking. Our little whims and desires, they come and they go, and they're focused on one thing that you know, it's here today and gone tomorrow. Amen. And as we get older and things, we focus on other things, and our we're just always changing, and the world around us is fickle. But God's will, amen, it will never pass away. It's not focused on temporal things, but it's on eternal things. But we know that God has given us a free will. And this is an amazing gift that God has given to every single one of us. Amen. It's something that, you know, it goes beyond, when you think about creation and you think about how God made mankind, that is one of the greatest gifts that he could have given. Because he didn't give, you know, really the animals that ability. He doesn't, you know, but he gives us the ability to choose him or not. Amen. What a love. Because he wants us to choose him freely. What an expression of love. Amen. Because he could force us if he wanted to, but it wouldn't be love. Amen. It wouldn't be an expression of love if we were forced. You know, if somebody takes a knife or a gun and points it in your head and says, you know, bow down. Well, that's not you making that choice. That doesn't even hold up in a court of law. They call that under duress, right? But God gave us free will. He gave you the ability to choose, which means that he had to give you a will that you could choose to follow. Amen? So the power of choosing, and this is the definition of a will, is the power of choosing. The faculty or endowment of the soul by which it is capable of choosing, of making a choice. The faculty or power of the mind by which we decide to do or not to do. The power of preferring or selecting one of two objects. Amen? The choice which is made, a determination or a preference, which results from the act or exercise of the power of choice. Amen. The power of choice. Now, Brother Branham said this in It Is I, Be Not Afraid. He says, if you'll bear closely, now listen. He says, listen to you in these chairs and stretchers, if you'll watch closely. Now, he can only prove himself to be alive. But as far as your healing, it's a finished product. If he was standing here with the suit on that he gave me, he could not heal you. If you come and begged him and pleaded him to, he cannot do what he's already done. He's left it up to you on the basis of your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. He cannot save you against your own way or against your own will. You're a free moral agent. You can turn it down or you can accept it. You can understand clearly now, he says. He cannot heal you against your will. How powerful is our will in the face of God's power? Amen? He refuses to step over your will. That's how precious it is to him for you to make a choice. He cannot heal you against your will. He cannot save you against your will. But he can make himself known in his promises. And then you accept it on those basis. How many understands it now? So let us bow our heads as we pray. Amen. So we have been made free to choose. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is true throughout all of mankind. There's not one person who hasn't had that choice. And you say, well, what if somebody's enslaved? Well, they're not enslaved in their, you know, in their decisions of morality. I mean, look at the slaves of our country. I mean, they're out there, you know, working in the fields and they, you know, sing and worship songs. Amen. So, you know, physical and economic and all of these things, it still comes down to a choice. Amen? And no matter what situation that we find ourselves in, we could complain about our circumstances or, you know, where we find ourselves, but it still is our choice. What will our testimony be? Amen? What will our attitude be? What comes off of our lips? What will we say? What will we speak? These are our choices that we make. This is our will to choose that. Amen? Nobody's out there making you say or do or, you know. But it's up to you to choose. As a result of that, every person will be judged by God. Amen? On what they do with the free will that He has given them. Amen. So your choice determines not only your life here, but your choices determine your life in the eternities. Amen. How powerful is that? Your free will to decide. Will I receive God's word or won't I? Will I live for Him? Will I obey Him or won't I? Amen. That simple decision, that simple choice. But the principle remains true in that scripture that we read. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. That's simple scripture. But yet, there's power in that. Amen. So the challenge for us is that we need to know the will of God. Is that right? And then we have to do the will of God. It's not enough just to know the will. We must then submit to the will of God. Submit our will to His will. Amen? So knowing His will is amongst all the competing, wills that are out there. Amen? Including your own. Amen? Your flesh has desires and it wants to rear up and exert its will and its desires. And I want this and, right? And I deserve to be heard and, it wants to throw its temper tantrums. Amen? And that will must be brought under subjection to the will of God. Because something in your soul has to rise up and say, no, not my will. Amen? I don't want my will. There's a temptation, amen, to be rebellious, or a temptation to let the flesh have its way, and you have to say, no, not my will. Amen? So I want to say tonight, you know, that we're, certainly this includes what we would call big decisions in life, right? Who I marry and what job I have and, you know, where I live and what church I go to and all these are big decisions in our lives that you as young people will be facing as you go through life. But what we're surely we include those, but we're also talking about the everyday seemingly small decisions. And every one of those small little choices, they snowball. Right? And I know we don't have a lot of snow around here, but if you've ever rolled a snowball, right? What's the idea of a snowball? It starts out small and it doesn't seem like much, but if you keep after it and it keeps building and building and building. And pretty soon you've got, you know, a giant snowball from a little one. Amen? And that is how the everyday choices are in our lives. It looks like little things, little acts of obedience. But those little acts of obedience, they snowball and they build. And they're seeds that are planted. And they multiply in our lives. And the more that we submit our will to God, the more we come under His leadership. And we say, not my will, but thine be done. Not only are you planting blessings and good seed in your life, but you're getting better at it. It becomes easier to do it the more you do it. Amen? It becomes natural. It becomes a way of life the more that we do those things, just like any other habit or anything like that. So we're talking about little things every day in our life. Now we know that God has a perfect will. How many knows that? Yes. Amen. So Romans 12 verse 2 says, we would be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Amen. The perfect will of God. He gave us His Word so that we would know what His will is. But we are being transformed into His living will. Living out His will. Amen. Living according to His Bible. Living according to His will. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Yeah. Amen? Amen. You have heard from us how you should walk and how you should please God. And so you would abound more and more. More and more walking in what you've been taught, so that you would walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Amen? For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, for that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possessing his vessel means getting a hold of yourself. Amen? Disciplining yourself, but bringing your will under subjection to God's will. Amen? So this is all part of God's will, that you would be sanctified, that you would live a clean life, that you would live according to His Word, that you would walk and please God. Amen? Please, living a life that's clean according to the Word of God, it's not only pleasing to God, but it's a testimony. Amen? It's a testimony of who you are and what you are and what you stand for. Amen. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. And then Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. Amen. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. You want to know what God's counsel is? His will.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't have to go ask someone else.
Right.
He just, what's his original thought? What's his thought on the matter? That should be our counsel.
Right.
Amen. What is God's will? So we are predestinated, according to Ephesians 1, for a purpose, but it's his purpose. Amen. And there's no other better advice that I could give a young person. Amen. Everybody's out there. There's millions and millions of young people out there that are trying to find their purpose in life. Well, God has a purpose. Amen. But it's His purpose, not your purpose. Amen. That's why we must know what He wants. Hallelujah. So we're aware that God has a will. Amen. And it's important to know what He's doing, not only in this age, but in our lives.
Right.
And we've got to believe His Word. Amen?
Amen?
That's why we come and hear the Word preached.
Right.
That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we listen.
Right.
Amen? That's why we hear it, because we're reminded of His will.
Right.
In the face of other competing challenges from the world. We hear, no, it's God's will that this, it's God's will that you be healed, it's God's will that you be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. So, by the scripture, we know that He has a perfect will. Is that right? But we also know that He has what we would call a permissive will. He has, where He allows us to take action that is not according to His perfect will, but then because we kind of stray away from His perfect will, but He allows it and works it back around. Amen. So that it fits into His overall perfect plan. Is that right? And that's what we call the permissive will of God. A good example of this in the Bible is the prophet Balaam. Amen. Israel was marching through the wilderness and they had plenty of enemies, and the enemies of Israel, some of them wanted to get Balaam, who was a prophet. He had a gift and he heard from God. And they offered him a lot of money and said, hey, we want you to curse Israel. And he wanted that money. He wanted the fame and the, you know, the prestige. And he wanted to be looked at as a big shot. And he was a prophet. And he wanted to go down there and curse Israel. And so he prayed to God. But he knew he was a prophet. And a prophet, that gift could only say what God said. And so he prayed, "Look, God, let me go down and curse Israel. Because I really want this money. I want to be rich, and I want all the things that they're promising. They're promising we'll make you, you know, we'll give you this and give you that and gold and fame and all the other things." And he wanted it. That was his will. His will was he wanted that. He didn't care about Israel. He didn't care what God thought, other than the fact that he knew that he couldn't say anything that other than what God said. He was limited. Amen. But his will was surely not in surrender to God. His will was, "I want to be rich." And so he prayed, "Oh God, let me go down and do this. Because I'm seeing dollar signs." Amen? And God said, "Don't you do it." He let him know what his perfect will was. He said, "Don't do it. They're my people. I've blessed them. Don't you curse them." And so he was kind of bummed out because he didn't get to do what he wanted to do. Right? And he went back and he told the guys, "Sorry, you know, I can't do it. God said no." And so they offered him more. So, "Well, let me go ask again because this is what I really want." Right? This wasn't about finding God's will so he could surrender to it. He was trying to get God to do what he wanted to do. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What rebellious. Amen. What stubborn willfulness. Amen. Now, we'll get into that here in a minute. But Balaam, he went back and he asked God and asked God and asked God. And finally God said, "Fine, go. Go ahead." All right. Well, what was that? That was the permissive will of God. Already told him what he wanted. And he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. He refused to hear God's will. And he kept pushing and God said, "Okay, go ahead." Right? But God worked it all out. Because he went and prophesied over Israel and he prophesied some of the most beautiful blessings of Israel written in the scripture. Amen? But you see, he was not surrendered to the will of God. Hallelujah. And he became embarrassed because of it. Amen? It didn't work out the way he wanted. Brother Branham says this. He says, now, this is in the message, perseverance. Wait, I don't think I have the right one here. Let's go ahead and read this one. I actually wanted to read the next one, but we'll read this one first as well. He says, now, persistent trying to achieve something. All men through all ages has been that way. He says, now take for instance Noah. Noah was very persistent after he had found the will of God. You've got to find first the will of God. You've got to find the will of God this morning. If you're coming to be prayed for, you've got to find the will of God, whether it's God's will to heal you or not. And the next thing you got to find out, if you're coming to get salvation, you got to find out whether it's God's will to save you or not. The first thing you have to find out is, what is God's will? And then if you have really received the seed in your heart, then you can be persistent. There's nothing going to move you. No matter what wisdom man tries to say, it's not so, and it's not this, and it's not that. It don't move you one iota because you know what the will of God is. And he spoke it to your heart, and faith sets there, and it'll hold right on no matter what no matter if there's no more than like a grain of a mustard seed. So we've got to know what the will of God is. Amen? But then once we find out what the will of God is, we have to surrender to it and say, "Not my will, but thine, O Lord." Amen? So this is from "The Seed Shall Not Be Error" with the Shuck. He says, now, you see, from what I said last night, any move from the original plan of God throws the whole thing out of cater. We can't move from the original word. We talked on it last evening, or the evening before last, on Balaam. Amen. He got God's answer straight and clear. Don't go. But he has a permissive will. And you can work in that if you wish to. And God will make it honoring, but it's still not God's perfect will. And that's what we should strive for, His perfect will, not His permissive will. The kingdom of God is in the earth today. It can never be set up justly on the permissive will. It's got to come back to His perfect will. Amen. The kingdom is going to be built on those that are walking in His perfect will. Hallelujah. Amen. So that in that same story, Israel refused to go over Jordan. Amen. That was God's perfect will for them. Cross over Jordan. And they refused. So what happened? They walked in the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That was not God's perfect will for them, but it was His permissive will. Amen. And He blessed them while they were doing it. I mean, they still had manna, their clothing didn't wear out. God was with them, right? Blessing them, but they were not walking in the perfect will of God. Amen. And people look at the blessings of God and they say, well, I must be doing all right. I got blessings. But if you're not walking according to the word, if you're not obedient to the word of God, amen, you might not be, well, if you're not, you're not in the perfect will of God, amen? No matter what the blessings are. The Pentecostals of Brother Branham's time fell into that trap. They said, look, man, we got all these signs, we got speaking in tongues, we got this, we got the blessings of heaven pouring out, and they were in disobedience to the word of God. So much so that they crucified the word again in their age. And yet, gifts of the Spirit. Amen? It comes back to the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, of course, thankfully we have grace that we can repent. Amen? If we have, walked outside of God's will, we've exerted our own will and in some way, we have grace and we can repent. Amen. But if we're not repentant and we're not walking in His will, we're in trouble. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't want my will. I want His will. Yeah. Amen. 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 In the scripture, King Hezekiah, who was well known for helping to revive Israel. He restored so much of what had been lost with the temple, and he was such a great king. His legacy was cemented as one of the great kings of Israel because he honored God and he obeyed God. But one time the prophet came to him and said, Hezekiah, it's time. You're going to die. Amen? The time has come. And he said, no, I don't want to die. I don't want this to be my time. Let me live longer. You see, he heard from God what God wanted, what God's plan was for him. And he said, but I want something different. Amen? And what happened was God granted him his desire. And it was a horrible decision. He backslid and he actually started the cause of the destruction of Israel because of that simple decision to say, but I want. When he heard God's word and God's will for his life, he said, but I want something different. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, if that's your plan for me, thank you, Lord. I will worship your name, Lord. Though it be hard, Lord God, though it tears me up in my flesh and my spirit, Lord, I receive it because I know that you're working all things together for my good. Instead of that, he said, no, I don't want that. And as the king, he's probably used to getting his way. Amen? Maybe some of us, we're like little kings, little queens in our world. We're used to getting our way. Amen. And when something doesn't go our way, we stomp our foot and say, no, I don't want that. My day wasn't supposed to go like this. My coffee wasn't supposed to be 5 minutes late. Whatever. Amen. But Hezekiah let his will get lifted up. In his own sight, he let his will be lifted up to the point where he preferred it over God. Amen? Where he looked at the decision and said, God's way or my way? And said, I'll take my way. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen? In the end, he fell away. He backslid. Brother Branham said this about him. This is in, let's read a couple of these here. He says, does God ever change his mind about his word? He says, why, he blesses me. He says, I don't doubt that. He blessed Balaam too. Certainly he will. You're walking in his permissive will, not his perfect will. God doesn't change his mind because he blesses you. He blessed Israel right out there for 40 years. And what did they do? They married wives, raised families, kissed the children, paid their tithe. Lived right out there. God blessed them in the wilderness. Fed them with manna. On and on. And every one of them perished. Because they never kept his original. He says permissive. He says his original will. His word. They took his permissive way. And then he says, "Does look even at King Hezekiah. When he sent that prophet up there to him. God did. And said, put your house in order. You're going to die. Hezekiah turned to his face to the wall. And wept bitterly. And said, Lord, I ask you to reconsider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. I want you to let me live 15 years longer. All right. God spoke to the prophet, said, go back and tell him I heard him. And what did he do? He brought disgrace upon the whole nation. He kindled the anger of God till he would have killed him. That's right. You know that. He backslid on God. It would have been far better off, nation, king, and all, if he had went on and took God's first thing on him. But it looked hard on the prophet when the prophet had to go back and speak the word of God to him after he'd done told him. But God said, go ahead. But you see, it brought a disgrace. And what did Balaam do after knowing the will of God? And yet he was persistent. He was going to do it anyhow. And what did it do? It says he never changed his mind. He knowed what was in his heart, speaking of God. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham tells us a story of when he was in Africa, right? And we've recounted it many times and how the ministers there were pressing him and they were influencing him and they were saying, look, we've got an itinerary for you to follow. We've got donors and people that have set up the meetings and you need to do what we say. And he said, and God had told him to go to Durban, go hold me. He had told him, go here, hold meetings, go here, hold meetings. And it was exactly the opposite of what the men wanted to do. Right? You know the story. He was pressured. Amen? He knew what God's will was. Is that right? But yet, he went against it and he asked God if it would be all right to follow the will of man instead. And God eventually told him, go ahead, but you'll pay for it. Right. Amen? And he did. He nearly died. He was horribly sick and all those things. Now God blessed them. People were healed still in those meetings. And, you know, God still blessed the work, but he paid dearly, a dear price for it. Right. Amen? And he didn't even really want to do it, but yet he did it. Amen. So this is what it says here in Proverbs. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. In case those words are a little strange for you, I have it in the Amplified as well. Because we don't use words like hardeneth his neck very often. Right? Unless you got a knot back there. Feels like I need a massage, right? But it says, he who hardens his neck and refuses instruction, after being often reproved or corrected or criticized. Constructive criticism, Brother Doug. Amen? So if you harden your neck, you hunch up against correction. Oh my. Them that do that will be suddenly be broken beyond repair. Well, what is that? That is refusing to surrender your will.
Right.
Amen? Hardening your necks. And that's where the Bible, that's where they get that stiff necked. Amen? Refusing instruction, refusing correction, refusing criticism, stubbornness. Amen? The lesson we want is to not be willful. We want to be mindful of His will and submit to it. Amen? And when we're young and we're still with our parents, we have to submit to their will. Isn't that right? We have to submit to authority. Doesn't the Bible say that? You submit to the authority. Right? All of it is not being willful. Amen? Submitting to His will. Sometimes that's hard, brother, sister, because of our human flesh. Amen? And so we want to look at the opposite of that, which is stubbornness or rebelliousness. Amen? Rebellion. It basically amounts to the same thing. It's not budging from your will. I want to do this, and I can't be budged. I can't be moved. Actively rejecting God's way is rebellion. Right? You say that was a good definition of it. You say, well, this is God's way, and you say, I'm not going that way. That's rebellion. Amen? But I have my way and I'm going to hold to it no matter what. That's stubbornness.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Yeah.
King Saul was an example of this in the scripture. King Saul wanted to serve God his way.
Right.
And he did what he thought was good, even though Samuel had told him, God wants you to kill all Agag, and I think it was the Amalekites, right, or whoever, right? I want you to kill them all,
yeah.
Right? And he said, no, I've got a better idea.
Yeah.
And he did the political thing. He wanted to please the people, but it was his will.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, it's fine. We'll just offer a sacrifice, and we'll keep all the best animals, and God will be pleased because we'll sacrifice. No, that's your thinking.
Right.
Saul wanted to do it his way. He justified it by saying, oh, but we're doing it for God.
Yeah.
Amen? Oh, we're going to keep the best just for God. That's so He could get His way.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Amen? Oh, people twist the word of God for their own will.
Right.
You know if it's your will or if you're surrendering to God or not.
Right.
But you twist the scripture and say, no, you know, I've already got my idea, my thinking, the way this is going to go, and I'm going to find a scripture to make it fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
My.
That's what Saul did. And God rejected him as king. Amen.
Yeah.
A few scriptures here. Exodus 32:9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. What a testimony, right? We don't want that to be our testimony. Amen? We don't want the pastor to say, Lord, I've seen this people you've given me, and they're a stiff-necked people. Amen? Poor Moses. Amen? But God is saying, I have seen it as a stiff-necked people. What does that mean? It means they were stubborn. Amen? This is not a godly trait. Being stubborn, set in your ways.
Right.
Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Rebellious children. This is God speaking about Israel. They take counsel, but not of me. They're listening to somebody. They're following somebody's will. They're following their own counsel, their own thoughts, their own whatever, but not mine. And that cover with a covering, but not my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You see what God thinks of rebellion and stubbornness, and stiff-neckedness? Amen? Mark 3:5, bring it into the New Testament. Jesus couldn't reach them because of their stubbornness. It says, when he looked round about on them with anger, what makes Jesus mad? Being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. That means that they were stubbornly willful. That's what that means, that hardness of their heart. Their heart, they couldn't be moved. They were stuck in what they knew to be, they thought they knew to be the way. Grieved Jesus for the hardness of their hearts. He said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So, of course, what was happening is they were tempting him to heal on the Sabbath day, right? And he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brother, sister, we have to crucify our will.
Yes.
Right. Amen? I mean, isn't this what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? So not my will.
Right.
He had a will. And he was battling. Struggling. He was dying out to his will. Not my will. But thine be done. Today's society feeds on building self-will. Amen. Self-will, self-determination. I'm a self-made man. I can do whatever I want to do. I can achieve and accomplish whatever I want. Well, maybe you can. Amen? But I want to achieve and accomplish what God wants.
Amen.
Amen? Your way and my way, your will and my will leads to failure and to death. It leads to destruction. Amen? And it is satanic. Let that one sink in for a minute. Self-will is satanic. What was Satan's original plan? He had desires outside of God's plan for him. God had a position for him. He placed him, Satan, this is your job. This is what I want you to do. And Satan said, no. I've got my own ideas. Right? And we find it in the scripture where he says, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. Right? And he had an idea of the way he wanted things. And he rejected God's will. And in fact, what he is propagating is worship of his own will. And that's what people do that are not serving God. That are not subject to God's, that aren't surrendered to God. They're worshiping their own will. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I've seen it even, you know, today they talk about, I heard something just the other day where they were like, well, I don't care how you do it, just as long as you do it your way. Well, what does that mean? Amen. I think Brother Doug's mentioned this is beyond before my time. Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way.
Right?
Very famous expression of the prince of the power of the air. Expression of the god of this evil age. I did it my way. That's what Satan will be saying as he tumbles down into the lake of fire. What did you accomplish, Satan? Well, I did it my way. That's about all he'll be able to say. Congratulations. I did it God's way. That's what I want to be able to say. I want to be able to say I did it God's way. I took my way and I crumpled it up and threw it in the trash where it belonged. And I did it God's way. Amen. That's what we want. Hallelujah. Can I read you a few more quotes here tonight? Amen. This is from the message, the Revelation chapter 4, the throne of mercy. It says, how is self-will? Why will you call that self-will, Brother Branham? Because it puts a man and a woman back again, just like Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden. On what? The two trees. Self-will, this one is death. This one is life. Self-will, he says, free moral agency. God placed the first man, Adam and Eve, right here on free moral agency, and he places you in the same place. And the only way you can get this thing fixed in here is your own self-will. Hallelujah. Your self-will, you have to will to do God's will. You have to get rid of your own will and let God's will come in, for this is the only channel that leads to the heart. Your self-will blocks the channel to your heart. Amen. You know all of those channels of the different parts of our, you know, our senses, right? These are all channels. Our seeing and feeling and tasting, all these ways that we touch the world around us. And in our spirit realm, we have imagination and reasoning, right? The gates. But to our soul, it's faith, it's will. Self-will. Amen? Will you surrender? Will you believe? Amen? Self-will, for this is the channel that leads to the heart. And then in Jesus at the door, he says, the Bible claims that if a woman... This is an interesting one. I just threw this one in here because of we were talking about stubbornness. Just to give you an example. It says, the Bible claims that if a woman cuts her hair or locks, her husband has a right to divorce her and send her away. The Bible said so. She dishonors her husband, and a dishonorable woman shouldn't be lived with. Oh, you say, I'm just as pure as a lily. That might be true, sister. But it's because, listen to this, the preacher never told you about it, or either you're stubborn and will that won't let God come in. In fact, if you look through the message and you look up stubborn, Brother Branham directly attributes stubbornness to the people's refusal to accept what he was preaching. Amen. Think about that. To refuse what God is giving you because you're stubborn. Amen. He said it's like a patient that would refuse to take medicine that a doctor's trying to give him. I've got the remedy. This will cure it. No, I don't want it. Stubbornness. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I have a quote on that. Let's read it. Amen. He says, it's like a patient sitting at the doctor's doorstep and would die sitting on the doorstep because he's too stubborn to go in and take the medicine the doctor's got for him. Exactly. Die on the step of a doctor sitting out there. And the doctor says, I've got the remedy for your ailment, but he's just too stubborn to go in and take it. Now, this is not a commentary on modern medicine. Amen? You should pray about everything that you take. Amen? But he's making a point here. If you know something is going to help you and still refuse it. Amen? He says, the doctor says, I've got a remedy for your ailment, but he's too stubborn to go in and take it. Listen to this. He says, that's a dangerous thing. A fellow could die, and he would die sitting there when there's plenty of medicine. They got a toxin for it, but he won't take it. He's just too stubborn. Well, then you can't lay that to the doctor. You can't lay it onto the medicine. It's the man. He's the one. And so is it today. Men and women will sit in church, sit in the church pew, hear the unadulterated gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost. See the manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit, of a living, resurrected Christ, and die in sin sitting in the church pew. Not because there's no balm, not because there's no physician, but it's because the people are too stubborn to take the medicine. trying to find the least way of resistance, going the way of the world. See what he's saying? Going the way, the least resistance, going the way of the world. Well, I don't want to take a stand. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be talked about. I don't want to, right? Perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. That's stubbornness. Amen. Brother, sister, we have that same opportunity before us every time we come to church. Amen. Remember, we're talking about surrendering our will every day in the little things. Amen. Whether it's authority of parents over us, authority at work or whatever, we should not be willful and stubborn. Amen. So we have that opportunity whenever the word is preached. And it's our stubbornness that keeps us from it many times. People say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Really? Amen? That's where the term, you know, just shovel it on back comes from. Right? You've heard that? Well, they're preaching, the preacher's up here preaching, and you're like, well, that ain't for me. Just shovel it on back. Must be for the guy in the next row behind me. Let me just fling it back to him. Right? Too stubborn to receive the word of God. Too stubborn to examine your own heart and your own life. When we hear the word, we should examine ourselves. Why is it coming forth? You don't think that Brother Doug just sits around and goes, you know, I think we're just going to hit this particular topic. No, that's the Spirit of God that's doing that. So why? Examine your heart. Examine your lives. Why is the Spirit speaking on this tonight? I don't know. I don't know if you're stubborn. I don't know. But we should examine our hearts. Amen? So what do we do about it? If we won't take the medicine. Now this is when you look at stubbornness, I thought this was a great a way of saying it. It says a stubbornness is a determination, and this sums up the devil for me. And brother, sister, we don't want to be this way, right? He says a determination to fight a losing battle with the truth. You're determined to fight a losing battle with the truth. That's the devil. And he wants you to fight it too. He wants you to buck a heart against that truth. Fight it. Battle against it. Amen? This is what Pharaoh did. I mean, it was plague after plague after plague after plague on Egypt. And each time, God hardened his heart. Amen? He was a tool in God's hand, but he was stubborn. He hardened his heart and hardened his heart and hardened his heart. It destroyed his kingdom because of his stubbornness. Amen? And the only person that's going to be hurt by your stubbornness is you. Now, there's a flip side to this. And Brother Doug's brought this out plenty of times when it comes to temper. Right? There's a temper, and then there's a backbone. Right? And a backbone is a temper under control. Temperance, temper. Right? It's a temper that's under the control of the Holy Spirit. Is a backbone that'll stand up and won't take things. Right? From the devil. Right? Well, look, stubbornness can be brought under control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A tenacity to hold on to the right thing. Stubbornness is when you hold on to your will. You won't submit to God's will. Bucking against the truth. Perseverance is you receive the truth. You accept the truth. I reject my will, but I accept His truth, and now I hold on to that. Amen. That's not stubborn. That's not rebellious. That's perseverance. But it's the same trait that's in there under control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if there's stubbornness in your life, let God temper that. Let God take control of that. Amen. Be stubborn in the face of the devil. Be stubborn in the face of unbelief. Amen. Hold on to God's word. Tenacious. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what Brother Branham says about somebody asks him the question. They were struggling with stubbornness. And look what he says. Question, Brother Branham, I am saved and I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But how do I get away from a stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break away from? Well, my Christian brother or sister, whoever it may be now, most times when you find people that's got stubborn spirits, it's usually a complex that causes this. Either they inherited it from a mother, a father, an uncle, an aunt, a grandmother, a grandfather, something like that. If you'll trace it back through your life, you'll find, he says, now I've taken this by experience under discernment. Because I've met cases on the platform, thousands of those that had that spirit. Thousands of them that had that spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I've listened to a lot of prayer lines. I've listened to a lot of discernment, and he doesn't call it out very often, right? But yet he discerns it, and he's dealing with it and knows that it's there. I trace that spirit right back by discernment and find that there was a granddaddy or a grandmother, there was somebody else back down there. He says, and you inherit that by nature. So you didn't get to choose, right? He says, stubbornness is not of God. Let me say that again. Stubbornness is not of God. And now the only way to get away from that is you have to have faith to overcome that. You are a Christian, you are a son or a daughter of God, whichever you may be, and you'll never be able to just stand and rebuke it and rebuke it and rebuke it. So you can't just do that. He says it's like tantalizing a rattlesnake. He's laying there ready to bite you. If you'll just ignore him and walk away from him, he can't hurt you. So when you feel that you've got a stubborn spirit, lay the thing on the altar. And believe God that the thing is dead and you'll never have it no more. Amen. Go on. And don't even pay any attention to it no more. And the thing will leave you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's get away quickly. So that would be my advice, how to overcome it. We overcome the devil by faith. That's what we overcome all evil is by faith. Amen. So we have to pray. We need to lay that at the altar. If we are dealing with that in our lives, we need to lay that at the altar. That is not of God. A spirit of stubbornness. It will hinder. Amen. It's an evil spirit tendency, as I said, exhibited by Satan himself. He's stubbornly holding on until it leads him to destruction. And he's trying to get you to stubbornly hold on, leading to your destruction. We don't want that to be us. Amen. Now, brother, sister, I do want to make a distinction here between willful disobedience. And we're talking about will. We're talking about, Lord, not my will. Right? And you can disobey and you can fall into sin without it being the same as willful rebellion, willful disobedience. Is that right? Parents, right? If you have a child, there's a big difference between a child that makes a mistake and is repentant for it. I'm sorry, I tried, I didn't mean to, and I did it, and oh, I just got carried away, and I did it again, right? As opposed to, right? There's a big difference. Because not only do you have to deal with whatever the transgression was, it's bad enough you have to deal with that, but now you also have to deal with that attitude. Amen? And as a child of God, when we fail and when we make mistakes, there's consequences, right? We have to deal with those things. And, sometimes it's every time we have to repent and make it right and move on, and but we have to deal with it. But it's more than that if you're willfully disobeying. Amen? A child that's repentant is different. But a child that's exerting their will has to be broken. Amen? they have to submit. They have to come to the place of repentance, or they will be forever rebellious. Amen? And that's true for a child of God. Now, a great example of, you know, a repentant heart is Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God, right? God told him to go to Nineveh, and he gets on a ship and goes the other way, right? But God dealt with him, and God went after him, and God was working it all out, and Jonah repented. He turned. He literally turned and went the way that God had told him. Amen? But he had to go through some hardship. We use Jonah as an example of some pretty bad circumstances. Amen? Swallowed by a fish. Surrounded by fish guts. Black, dark, dead. Ugh. Right? Because of his disobedience. But he repented. Amen. And God worked it out for his good. So that's what we want to be that way. Amen? We want to say, Lord, not my will. Lord, I don't want my way. I want your way. Even if something initially raises up in us and says, no, I can't do that, or I don't want that. I don't want to go through this. But yet, the Holy Spirit will come and temper that. Amen? Amen. If we're honest tonight, how many, you know, as a child of God, how many have ever asked God, God, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to be the... Why do I have to be the one to say I'm sorry? They're the ones that did it. Why do I... What's that? That's your flesh will raising up. And the Holy Spirit comes and it says, look... You got nothing coming. Amen? And you realize, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. I repent of that. Right. I put my will under your word, Lord. Right. Right. I want your will for my life. Amen? Amen? Yes. Let me give you one more example in this scripture, and then we'll close here. This is Matthew chapter 21. Jesus gives this parable. And he says this. He says, what think you? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and he said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered him and said, I will not. And that's, blatant rebellion right in his face. I will not. Son, this is what I want. No. But afterward, he repented and went. Amen? Something moved in his heart. And he repented of that, and he put his will under his father's will. Amen? And he came to another son. He had two sons, right? Came to the second and said likewise. So he said the same thing. Son, go work in the vineyard. And that son said, I go, sir. And went not. Jesus says, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because they were stubborn. It had nothing to do with their goodness or, you know, their so-called holiness. It was the heart to repent, to admit they were wrong, the heart to say, not my will. Amen. The second one said, sure, I'll go. And he didn't do the will of his father. He went and did whatever he wanted to do. He paid lip service to, just get the old man off my back. Oh yeah, sure, I'll go. And he did what he wanted to do. The other one had flesh that said, no, I don't want to do that. That's hard. But he got control of it. It's a type of the Christian allowing the Word and the Holy Spirit to get control. He said, I'm sorry. I repent of that. I want to do the will of my Father. Amen? We should not stubbornly hold on to our own will, but recognize He's the authority. That means, brother, sister, tonight, we willingly surrender.
Amen.
Amen. As a young person, we say, Lord, I might have ideas about what I want to do with my life, but I surrender them to You, Lord. I say, Lord, have Your way in my life. I don't know best. I have ideas, but I don't know best. Lord, I want Your way for my life. I want Your will. I want to be soft. Amen. I don't want to be hard and stubborn and stiff-necked and rigid, stuck in my ways.
Amen.
And when the Word of God comes against what I think it should be, I beat against it and I buck against it. No. I want to be soft, and I want to be someone that God can shape and to mold. Amen. And if we, young people, if you start out that way, and you walk in your life that way, and you look for opportunity in your life every day, Lord, how can I submit to Your will? How can I do what You say? How can I do what Your word says I should do? You'll just walk and walk and walk in that. Amen? Because tonight you're free to choose. You can choose either way. You've been given a choice. You don't have to surrender to God. Amen. But let me tell you, tonight you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. An opportunity that will resonate through all eternity. You have an opportunity right here in this moment tonight to surrender to God's word. To surrender to Him. And you have that opportunity every day. Amen. And it is an opportunity. Every breath in your body, every moment of your life, you have that opportunity. And every time you make that choice, every time you surrender a little bit more, it resonates. It has a ripple effect. Amen? You know, you throw a rock into a pond of water and it ripples out. It builds and builds. Like I said, it snowballs. Amen? And you'll have blessings on blessings in this life and in eternity.
Amen.
Why? Because His way is the best.
Amen.
Now, look, that doesn't mean you won't go through hard things. Like I said, sometimes that's the hardest time.
Right.
To accept a trial.
Right.
Amen? But say, Lord, not my will,
Amen.
But Thine be done.
Amen.
As Jesus was our example. He freely chose, not my will, but Thy will, O Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen. That's the way I want to be, isn't it?
Yes,
is that true tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Is that what you want?
Right.
To just be able to surrender to Him in every way, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know, Lord. I just surrender to You tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. He has given you a free will tonight, but there's a responsibility that comes with that and an opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be mindful of His will. Being mindful means that we meditate on it. We are aware of it. We know what it is. We're thinking about it. Amen. Knowing what His will is for you.
Right.
Saying, Lord, that's what I want. I want Your will tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, we just want to take the opportunity tonight, Lord, to say that we love You. Lord, to acknowledge, Lord, that Your ways are the best, Lord. Lord, Your will, Your word is perfect, Lord. Lord, You've created each one of us for a purpose. Lord, every person here, every young person, young, old, middle-aged, whatever, Lord, we all have been created for a purpose. Lord, Your word says that purpose Lord, is a predestinated purpose to show forth the goodness, the will of God. Lord, I believe that that's what we all want here tonight, Lord. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way. Sometimes we allow our own will to rise up, Lord. But I pray, Father, that you would help us, each one, Lord, to surrender to your Spirit, Lord, and to put our will, Lord, in its place, Father, as we submit to you, Lord. We don't want our own will tonight. We want yours, Lord. We echo your words in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine, oh God. I pray that you help these young people, Lord. Lord, as they go through life, Father, may they at every turn, every opportunity, may they examine, Lord, every decision, big, small, in between, Father. Lord, may they examine it in the light of your word, knowing what you want for them, Father. Lord, I know that they'll be blessed if they do that, Father. Lord, we just love you tonight. We thank you once again, Lord, for sharing your thoughts with us, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's any here tonight, Lord, that maybe they're like that child, Lord, that disobeyed willfully or not. We know the remedy is to repent of it. The remedy is to run back to Father and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I pray that if there's any here tonight that are in that position, Lord, that they would just run back to you, Lord. They would not listen to the lies of the enemy that would try and separate them from you, Lord. Say, he doesn't want you back. Or, you've done gone too far this time, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're calling for such. You're calling for those to zealously repent in this hour, Lord. We're going to make mistakes, but Lord, that's why you shed your blood at Calvary. And Lord, as your prophet said, if we're dealing with stubbornness in our lives, that we would lay it at the altar. And I pray tonight, Lord, that if there's any in that condition tonight, Lord, they deal with a stubborn streak in their life. Father, they would lay that down tonight and never pick it up again, never come back to it. But may it be in the rear view mirror, Father. May they lay it aside, Lord, and never regard it again. Ah, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here with us tonight. We just honor you and we praise you. We lift you high. We lift your will high. We esteem it higher than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if we could sing, I Surrender.